It's 4 o'clock. This is Valley Voices. I'm your host, Marilyn Gleason. And we do have a great interview lined up live in the studio today. We're going to be talking to Stephanie Soldner. There's some events coming up here in the Roaring Fork Valley that we're going to be talking about. Connecting to the arts in the Roaring Fork Valley over many years. So stay tuned for that. So welcome, Stephanie Soldner, in the studio with me.
Hello, thank you. It's so nice to be here.
It's great to have you in the studio. Coming up a little bit later this month, there's a really interesting happening, I guess. The Soldner Center for the Arts and Innovation and Music Therapy Retreats are going to be hosting a music therapy retreat for veterans. So this is the first time that this has ever happened in the Roaring Fork Valley. First, I'd like to you to just talk a little bit about music therapy and how this got started. How did these two organizations come together?
Sure. So I guess I will begin with the Soldner Center and how we got interested in partnering with Mac Bailey, who runs the Music Therapy for Veterans Music Therapy Retreat. My father, Paul Soldner, was raised Mennonite. He was a conscientious objector during the war. And when he had been in college, when he was drafted, he was pre-med. And when he was drafted, and because he was a conscientious objector, the Army made him a medic. He was part of Patton's Third Army and Battle of the Bulge. And a few days before the end of the war, on May 5th, his platoon came across a concentration camp no one really knew about called Mauthausen. It was a labor death camp.
And one thing I noticed, interestingly, 81 years ago today that this happened. This is May 5th.
Made my goosebumps. Yes, you're absolutely right. So 81 years ago, they encountered, when they walked in, all of the Germans had left. They knew the war was over, and they walked in on hundreds of walking skeletons and piles of bodies. Paul had been an amateur photographer in college, and so he photographed Mauthausen. And we've subsequently given the originals to the Mauthausen Museum. But while there, he started to really question if he wanted to be a doctor. And then in the course of cleaning things up, in one of the barracks, he discovered some incredibly powerful drawings that a prisoner had done of other prisoners. And he was so moved that someone would create in such dire circumstances that he decided to devote his life to the arts instead. And that's actually what brought him then to Colorado. He and my mother were both from Ohio, but he came to the University of Colorado to get a master's in art administration, decided to become a studio potter instead after taking an elective there. And then the arts just became part of his life. So that's where the Soldner Center sort of came from. Mac Bailey, the very first event we did at the Soldner Center 4 years ago now was with Jan Garrett and J.D. Martin, and they did a concert. Oh,
yeah. Favorite local musicians.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful people.
Well known here at KDNK.
And J.D. told me about this music therapy program that he was part of as a songwriter that was helping veterans write songs. And it sounded so interesting, and it felt like something that the Soldner Center could be really supportive of. And I actually got to go and attend a different concert, an end of a concert, that I could see what had happened. And it was up in Missouri Heights. It was really beautiful. And I thought, this is something we would really like to be able to participate with our local veterans. That organization was bringing in veterans nationally. So I reached out to Mac Bailey after being introduced by J.D., and we've talked about this for several years and finally decided, yes, let's give this a try. It feels like a time in the world where these are remarkable people who have given their lives in many ways, and we want to be able to try to do something to help. So it aligns with Paul and Mac, who has been doing this. He does this nationally all over
But this is based here in the Valley. The Music Therapy Retreats is a local organization.
Yes, it is a local nonprofit that is run by Mac Bailey.
But they have gotten a lot of national attention. They've done things in Cleveland and Nashville and been featured on CNN. And so there's
exactly
quite a bit of exposure and stature.
And he's really a wonderful counselor. He's a certified therapist. And what's remarkable is that he this will be for five veterans for us, the program that we're offering. Veterans will apply through the Soldner Center. There's a website, www.soldnercenter.com. You go to events and then look for the Veterans Retreat. And veterans would then register. Mac gets to know them. And they're given, if they're accepted, they're given a free guitar to keep for themselves, as well as ongoing lessons if they would like to. And then over the course of the weekend, there'll be some therapy sessions, but then they're paired one-on-one with a songwriter, singer-songwriter.
So there are five veterans signed up now and five songwriters as
well? We actually are at three veterans.
Oh, okay.
So I would love if anyone out there is feeling either that they know someone or they would love to be part of this, please, we would welcome you and hope that, you'll come and take a look at the website and register.
So you are still looking for some more veterans might be able to join this, and it's coming up on May 15th to 17th.
That's correct. Yep. So there's still time, and we would very much love to have five veterans. But if we don't, we will do this, of course, with three, and there is possibly one that we've heard about, a fourth. But irrespective, please consider if you're at all interested.
And Mac Bailey got interested in this through his own experiences with music and trauma.
And depression. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said that that he had suffered from depression, and it was through music that he really found therapy and found a way that gave his life richness, and that he then wanted to share that with others. So he went to school and became a certified music therapist.
Mm-hmm. And your announcement talked about like just really reframing these experiences through the process of making music.
Exactly.
And turning those emotions into song. I mean, do you know much about music therapy?
No. I know nothing about music therapy.
Much more about art.
I know about art. I love music. And I love JD and Jan Garrett. And Mac is really remarkable when you get to know him. He certainly is well known within the Valley. He's worked in the school district. He's has his own private practice as well as what he's doing, going traveling around nationally. So it's something that I think people can really feel good about and trust and know that they'll be well cared for and guided and supported.
Yeah. And so this is taking place through an entire weekend?
Yes. So the 15th through the 17th at the Soldner Center. So this is at my mother and father's home that they built over the course of 40 years. It's five buildings on 5 acres located across from Buttermilk Ski Mountain is probably the best way to describe
it. Just outside of Aspen.
Yes. And so it'll be on site, and we will be making sure that everybody will have their meals and their snacks and anything that they would need to feel comfortable. They'll be, I'm sure, paired up and then given different places where they can choose that they would like to work and create over the course of the weekend. And then at the end of the weekend on Sunday evening, they will perform their songs for each other and for just their family and perhaps select friends. So it's not something that will be open to the public because this is a very private, special moment. So we need to be sure that people feel safe and well seen.
And are you looking for people who have some experience with music or
no,
specifically for people who are not experienced with
either
music?
Way, uh-huh. I think that a love of music, I think, and an openness to music is all that is required. But if you do have a musical background, great. But if not, no worries. Please come. The songwriters that will be working with the veterans are incredibly generous and gifted, and they really are supporting the veterans as they are bringing up something that they want to deal with, something that has really maybe been bothering them, that they want to find a way to face and, as you said, reframe that experience.
And isn't music such an amazing way to access and express emotions?
And music gets touches in ways that almost nothing else, except maybe sense of smell, can sometimes bring people into different places. But music really is something that is both universal and very personal all at the same time.
And we should not forget to mention this is free for the
yes,
veterans.
Yes, that is exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is free.
And you're looking for two more.
Yes, please.
So this is a call. Great. Well, that is so, you know, such an interesting event that's coming up. Is this something that you're hoping to continue to do in the future?
I think we'll see how this goes, but I would hope that right. this will be something we can offer again. Yes.
Well, tell me more about the Solner Center for Arts and Innovation. Maybe we're going to take a trip in the Wayback Machine. People who have been around here for a while have certainly heard of Paul Solner. He was a very, you know, well-known, really famous ceramist. Mm-hmm. I understand he pioneered American raku.
Indeed, he did.
And all of this was kind of done in Aspen in the early days, not too long after skiing started in Aspen. It was a very different town back then. But we think of Aspen as having, you know, being an art center in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And am I right that this was kind of the start of that?
Well, yes and no. So when Paul went to the University of Colorado and had realized that he actually wanted to be a studio potter, he and my mother had started exploring Colorado over weekends and wandered into Aspen and encountered a shop that had a couple, Ruth and Ray Maxwell, who were retiring from having a pottery shop. And they said, you know, you should really come back. We think that Aspen could support a potter. And for anybody who knows a little bit about old Aspen, Ruth and Ray Maxwell were Joy Caudill's parents.
Okay.
And that's Joy and Sam Caudill. Sam was an architect, and Joy was one of the three Maroon Bells who helped with environmental wilderness workshop and creating the wilderness areas.
Yeah, those amazing women who did so much work on behalf of the environment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So the Maxwells said, you should come back. They introduced my parents to Dr. and Virginia Burlingame, and they ended up buying 5 acres just outside of Aspen with the idea that they were going to build their home and studio and sell pottery. That was what they were going to do.
And what year was it when you first came to Aspen?
So we came in 1953.
Okay.
They came back because Paul was still going through the summer program at the University of Colorado. And then after he graduated, they ended up buying those 5 acres. And that was in 1956. And then they started building in 1957.
Okay.
They then actually spent summers in Aspen. We camped in a tent on the property, and they built as much as they had time and money for. My father, in the meantime, had gotten his Master of Fine Arts at the Los Angeles County Art Institute out in L.A., and then was hired by Scripps College to teach for one semester. And then that turned into a year, and then that turned into 8 years. After 8 years in 1965, he and my mom decided that the house that they were building was far enough along. The first building was supposed to be the studio, because, of course, you have to make a living. And we moved into that. It was cold in the first winter. The refrigerator was warmer than the room. But
wow.
Ultimately, he did get the heating figured out, and the whole place grew over the course of 40 years. And there are now 5 buildings that were their personal home. They didn't expect to create anything beside that, but they loved community. They loved having people come and share. And that is how once my mother died in 95, and then my father passed away in 2011, and then I inherited it. And actually created a national council in 2014. And they're the ones that came up with this idea of what we could do with this wonderful property. The buildings are extraordinary. There are no right angles. There are buildings that some of them have to do with solar energy. He was the first one probably in Colorado to install solar energy. And then we came up with the idea of a museum and cultural center and called it the Soldner Center for the Arts and Innovation. Innovation because innovation can happen anywhere and in any way. And we, what we say is we foster curiosity, creativity, and community. Those are our three pillars. Really, everything starts with that. And so the cultural center is something that hopefully will bring the community together, will bring people where they can share ideas, but also learn about ceramics, learn about alternative energy, alternative architecture. My mother was a painter, so on display are her paintings. They're often 6 feet high. They are not small. She worked in acrylics. Paul, his artwork is there. And then we also have their collection of art, ceramic art from well-known masters, mid-century, 20th century ceramic masters. So it's an interesting combination.
We're talking this afternoon on Valley Voices to Stephanie Soldner, and she's telling us about the Soldner Center for the Arts and Innovation, the history in Aspen of this family and this branch of the arts and some of the events that are coming up. Paul Soldner was really deeply in the arts through some things that he did in Aspen over the years. There was, once upon a time, the Aspen Potters Guild.
Yes.
He had something to do with that, right?
Yes. Yes. So when Paul and Ginny first arrived in the 50s, there was a Potters Guild here, and they had heard that Paul was interested in ceramics and was actually very good and asked if he would help to help them get better. And he, of course, was thrilled. He loved to teach. That was one of his biggest something he did his entire life. He loved to share. And so the Potters Guild met in the old bowling alley, which got sold so that it could become the Shaft, which then got sold and became Boogies. So if you're from Aspen and you have any idea of where those places are, that's where it all started.
Yeah, that bowling alley is kind of back in the mists of the past.
Mists of time, yes. So once they needed to relocate, word got out, and Paul was approached by somebody from Snowmass. They were just starting the ski area at that point. This was in the mid-60s. And they approached him and said, look, we hear that you're looking for a place for your Potters Guild. We're looking for some culture. And would you be interested in relocating out to Snowmass? And Paul said, well, sure, but where? And they said, well, we have about 6 ranches that we're not sure what we're going to do with. Would you like to take a look and see if something there might work for you? And he did. He took a look around, and ultimately he selected Anderson Ranch, which was Hilder Anderson's family's ranch, her husband, obviously, his ranch. And Hilder, for those who don't know, was a beloved elementary school teacher in Aspen. At any rate, it was a sheep ranch, and he thought that that would work well for the Potters Guild. So it was literally a working ranch that needed to be transformed into an art center. The first building was the lambing shed, and it was literally deep in sheep dip, and they had to dig it out. He really wanted to teach potters how to be artists, how to everything about it, how to budget, how to write resumes, how to build crates, how to everything you could possibly think of,
and how to make a living.
Absolutely.
As a potter
and be a potter at the same time. So for him, it was an alternative to college. He really saw this as something that was almost like a trade school in a way, but with more of an artistic angle. And so it started off, he called it the Center for the Hand. And for about 2 years, 2 or 3 years, it was the Center for the Hand. And then Sherry Heiser, who was a photographer in town, she joined him, and they called it this, she called her part the Center for the Eye. So it was the Center for the Hand and the Center for the Eye. And then I think in about 1972, it became a 501c3, and at that point became the Anderson Ranch Art Center. Or Anderson Ranch Center for the Arts, I think, is the proper name.
Just an amazing history.
Yes.
So you must have been a young girl as some of this stuff was going on and developing and happening. What do you remember about Aspen in those days and Anderson Ranch in those days?
Well, I don't remember a lot about Anderson Ranch because I had graduated from high school by 1970. And so I had been very busy with my own life with high school. I did a lot of theater. And then I had my closest friends were Jody and Julie Caudill, and we all had horses. They lived about three-quarters of a mile away. And so we would spend almost all of our days on horseback, just exploring, going off in any possible direction you can imagine, which, of course, you can't do now. And we lived 2 miles out of town. So I did not actually spend a lot of time in town. My friends were high school friends and theater friends. There was an organization called the Aspen Institute, Aspen Theater Institute, probably the very first one. People may or may not remember it. And a number of us high school kids were involved with that and loved it. So I was not really that involved, although I was constantly paying attention to how my parents were building the buildings. And later on, when it was my turn and I had a home and I wanted to cast concrete, I remember calling my dad on the phone and saying, okay, this is what I want to do with a patio that I was going to pour. And I had laid down the gravel and I had put down all kinds of wire and told him what I was doing, and he said, oh, I guess you really were paying attention.
After all.
After all, yes. But I always paid attention to what they were doing and truly love the buildings that are there and have been taking care of them ever since.
And Aspen was just a wilder, emptier, more free-for-all kind of a place back in the
Yeah,
days.
And there was definitely such an interesting combination of, you know, there were artists, there were the Willies and the Baldersons and all kinds of different people. And then, of course, on the other side of that were, you know, Guido, who, and I have actually become very close friends with Rosie, Guido's daughter. And so we all were there kind of in a big pile in high school and in communities, and somehow we all managed to forge this amazing place that you know, is part of who Aspen is now.
And even in those days, Aspen sort of had that cachet of being world famous.
Yes, very much so. Masters of all kinds there in Aspen.
Let's talk a little bit about another event that is coming up. The Ginny Soldner Poetry Collaborative is bringing a poetry reading to town at the end of the month, and it's part of a larger poetry program.
Year, yes, yeah. Program. So Ginny was a painter, a poet, and a businesswoman.
This is your mother.
Yes, thank you. And we were trying to think about a way to really bring her presence fully into the Soldner Center, too. Paul tends to get a lot of the credit. She was absolutely a force and full partner in everything that they did. She actually also helped build the buildings as well. But
I'm
she
sure.
She was a poet and took lessons, took writing with the poetry workshop way back years ago. And I have her poems. We've never published them. She was rather shy in many ways. And so I won't probably publish those, but I have those in our archives. She was a really warm person. She was incredibly inquisitive. And so we decided to use those kinds of values and interests to create what we're calling the Ginny Soldner Poetry Collaborative. And what that means is it's a year-long program. This is the second year. We're just finishing the first year. We started off with 9 poets last year. They came to Aspen to the Soldner property for 3 days and met, created a cohort where they really got to know each other, to trust each other. They were guided by Heather Swan, who teaches environmental literature and poetry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She knew Paul and Ginny, and so she carries a lot of their values, which is wonderful. Her mother is also a potter, interestingly, also named Stephanie. And
oh.
and so Heather has guided this first year. So they came together for 3 days, then went back to their homes and met by Zoom twice a month on Thursdays. The first Thursday Heather was inviting other nationally known poets to the Zoom, and they would share their own writing as well as their practices, how they go about writing, what's influencing them. And then the second Thursday, the poets would work on their own work, with reading to each other, Heather helping them with, different kinds of critiques. And they've now created works of poetry. We will be publishing one poem from each poet on our website at the end of this year. And now we're starting our second year. And it will start May 29th to June 1st. And that will be another group of nine poets who had to apply. They submitted three poems and explained what they wanted to get out of the program and why they wanted to participate. Those poets have all been selected, but we're now being joined this year with a nationally known poet named James Cruz, who will be with us through the weekend. That weekend primarily is private, except for on May 30th, at 7 p.m. at the Aspen Chapel Sanctuary upstairs, he and Heather will be doing a free public poetry reading. And he is a wonderful, very generous, they both are very wonderful, generous people and poets.
And you're going to read us a poem from James Cruz.
If it would be okay, that would be great. I need to just briefly put my glasses on.
We would love to hear this. And this was ultimately way back connected to the Writers' Conference?
Right. I think it morphed into the Writers' Conference. I'm not sure which came first, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But then that now has morphed into Aspen Words.
Right.
So it's really remarkable that this whole thing has had a life of its own. And
that's where your mother originally got interested in the poetry.
In poetry. Well. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All
exactly.
Right. Well, let's hear from James Cruz.
And his name, if you want to Google him, is James, and Cruz is spelled C-R-E-W-S. And this is a poem that says, entitled Our Real Purpose. And his comment just before this at the beginning of the poem is, as always, the purpose is not perfection, but to move towards what feels warm, what calls to us often in the quietest of voices. So this is the poem, Our Real Purpose. Perhaps our real purpose is not the constant polishing we think we reveal who we are, but the patience it takes to unfold into our own slow spring. Like cone flowers whose true faces can be seen in the green beginnings of each blossom, forming long before both color and petal first appear. We become ourselves the moment that we decide to move in the direction of some pocket of warmth that we can't explain, some taking step after step on a path that seems to be calling our name in a whisper just loud enough to be heard.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And he's lovely. And each of his poems are so thoughtful. And it's really almost healing to listen to James read. And then he's also a wonderful teacher of poetry. So I hope that people will consider coming out and joining us on May 30th at the Aspen Chapel Sanctuary at 7 p.m.
Yeah, that poetry gives you a chance to just kind of take a breath, slow down, and think about springtime.
Spring and humanity and all the things that make us so important and valuable and worthwhile and help us make connections, all kinds of things.
So we've been talking to Stephanie Soldner. May 30th at the Aspen Chapel Sanctuary is the poetry reading. And coming up May 15th to 17th, there is this great music therapy retreat for veterans. Room for a couple of more veterans in this really fantastic opportunity for practicing music and releasing
and
trauma. And,
Please join us.
And how would any veterans or friends of veterans contact you?
So the best way is to actually go onto our website, which is www.soldnercenter.com, and go to events and then scroll down to the veterans, and then there's a place where they can register.
Thank you so much, Stephanie Soldner. It's been just a great half hour.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.